Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on my 34th birthday, July 8th, 2020, from James Island. Also, a happy birthday to my fraternal twin, Colin. He was born a minute earlier because apparently I was, quote, taking up too much space. That's where the judgment started, folks, and it hasn't stopped. But where's his podcast? Also, just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features comments from U.S. Attorney General William Barr and Senator Tim Scott about police reforms, the latest on the Lavish Lounge shooting, including terrifying audio of the aftermath. Richmond Federal Reserve Bank President and CEO Tom Barkin talks about how technology threatens low-skill jobs. And South Carolina is the third worst in the world when it comes to new cases per million residents over the past 7 days, one of many records we currently have. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. Like, you know, if you've been exposed to COVID-19, how you're handling the situation, if you're going out, if you're going on vacation, let us know what you're doing, 803-563-7169. Now I'm back to give you the latest numbers out of South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 876 deaths, and currently there are 48,770 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of July 8th at 2:15 p.m. So we hit some new daily highs on July 8th. We had 38 reported deaths in one day. DHEC says this was due to a reporting delay. We have a record high of hospitalizations at 1,404 hospital beds currently occupied by patients who have either tested positive or are under investigation for COVID-19. And another record, a record high infection rate at 21%. Also, a nationwide record on July 8th, America surpassed 3 million COVID-19 cases. South Carolina alone is on track to top 50,000 this week. There are now 50 cities and towns across South Carolina that have mask ordinances in place that covers more than a million people. This according to the Municipal Association of South Carolina. So the last time we talked about this, it was only 34 municipalities. So these additions include the towns and cities of North, Norway, Roseville, Atlantic Beach, Conway, Fort Mill, McClellanville, Rock Hill, Arcadia Lakes, Bishopville, Casey, Irmo, West Columbia, and Ridgeville. And if you don't know if your city or county has a mask ordinance, there's an easy solution. Just wear a mask everywhere you go out in public. Easily solved right there. And if you're in one of these municipalities with these mask ordinances, let us know what you think about what your elected leaders did. Leave us a message at 803-563-7169. Moving on, U.S. Attorney General William Barr visited Columbia on Wednesday and held a criminal justice roundtable with Senator Tim Scott, who saw his police reform bill recently stall after failing to get enough Democratic support for debate. Following the roundtable, Barr and Scott took questions, including this one to Barr, about what leaders need to do to fix systemic policing problems.
I think we have to avoid extremes and recognize that it's a question of prudence and balance. Basically, as I see it, we need a police force. We need these institutions to provide peace and security in society, to allow our lives to flourish. At the same time, whenever you have that kind of institution, you have the possibility of abuse. And so you have to put reins and checks in place to make sure that these institutions that are designed to protect the community don't themselves become oppressive. And it's a question of striking the right balance. The police have, we need to support the police so they're out there protecting the community. But by the same time, we have to be sure that there aren't these abuses. And it's striking a balance. It's not defunding the police or doing away with the police or demonizing the police, nor is it making giving short shrift to the legitimate concerns that are out there about police abuses and overreach. So I think we have to strike a balance here.
Sarah Scott said he's had encouraging conversations with Democrats about the future of his Justice Act that would increase data collection on controversial practices and use federal dollars to incentivize departments to stop practices like chokeholds, though not outright ban them.
The first vote was a failure. And the good news is that since then, I've had a lot of conversations specifically with leaders in the House, sat down with Karen Bass and others who have led the charge for the Congressional Black Caucus and the House Democrats on police reform. The more she has taken a look at the bill, the more she has suggested that perhaps that half or two-thirds of a loaf might be better than none, because right now we're sitting on zero. And that speaks poorly to the American people and specifically to communities of color who have been challenged by these situations for decades. So I think we're back at the drawing board. I had another conversation with another member last night. So I'm hopeful that the next couple of weeks may produce the type of outcomes that we're looking for. I'm an internal optimist, so I'm always looking for the silver lining. But the conversations that are now, folks who are now calling me about the legislation from the other side suggests that perhaps it's not dead. We may have a Lazarus moment.
Scott also discussed changes he'd like to see in South Carolina. One of them is fully funding body cams, something lawmakers and protesters alike want to see done.
Well, there's no question that as I've spoken to Director Keel, the head of the Highway Patrol, South Chris Williamson, one of the things that we're seeing happening in South Carolina, we need to put more illumination under, to be honest with you, is that the reporting requirements in South Carolina are higher than they are in our nation. The fact that South Carolina may have been the first state to fund body cameras for more agencies. We have 118 agencies in this state with fewer than 10 officers. So the importance of funding is critically important. But we have a willingness in this state to address the issues. And frankly, as I did a press conference 2 weeks ago in Charleston, we had every major part of the police apparatus, law enforcement apparatus there with me, pushing for the changes that may make some uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable perhaps leads to progress. So I was really pleased to see South Carolina stand up and say from a law enforcement community, let's get this done so that we restore trust and confidence from those communities that we've lost it in. And sometimes by no fault of their own, sometimes by fault of their own, speaking specifically of the Walter Scott incident and many others. So I was heartened by the response that we have from a law enforcement community in the Palmetto State. Can be proud of the fact that the reporting requirements in this state are better than they are federally. The fact that we're focusing and funding more body cameras is better than what we've done nationally, though I've asked for it for five consecutive years on the federal level for more funding for body cameras. I'm hopeful that we get that done this year, but those are a couple of examples that what are happening in South Carolina.
Finally, we have an update for you now on the Greenville shooting at Lavish Lounge that took place early Sunday morning. It left two innocent bystanders dead and eight people injured. Greenville County Sheriff Hobart Lewis said in a press conference Tuesday that one person has been arrested, Jarquez Kazavian Cooper, 22, of Athens, Georgia, and he was charged with two counts of murder, seven counts of attempted murder, and possession of a weapon during a violent crime. Several other members of the rapper Fugiano's entourage have been sought. And here's Sheriff Lewis narrating one officer's body camera footage as he and others move through Lavish Lounge, which has been mostly cleared out at this point. Here's just a two-minute glimpse into the aftermath of that chaotic scene moments after the shooting happened.
The shots are being fired as they arrived on scene. Start to go in the club and try to clear it and look for a shooter inside the club.
Get more pictures this side.
You can hear officers who have their guns drawn instructing people to get down and get out. Sheriff Lewis said the shooting appears to be gang-related and that Cooper, one of the suspects, has been cooperative with authorities.
It looks like it's gang-related. There was some rumor about a chain being grabbed. There's no video evidence of that at all. A small scuffle starts in front of the stage right after the one shooter displays a gang sign to another person who's on the floor. They kind of go back and forth with that. He then pulls a firearm from his waistband, pulls up his shirt, pulls the pistol out, presents it, and some people see it start to move around, and he begins to fire it, and that's when the mayhem kind of starts.
Police are still searching for several other suspects. With the unemployment rate still at 11%, the Federal Reserve Bank still has much work to do. This according to two bank presidents and CEOs, Mary Daly of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco and Tom Barkin of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, who both participated in a webinar with the National Association of Business Economists. So a lot of titles, a lot of words right there. But they had an interesting conversation about COVID-19's impacts on their branches, especially Barkin, whose district encompasses South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. So listen to Barkin about how he sees the labor market being reshuffled due to the pandemic and how high-contact jobs are at risk of being replaced by technology and what can be done to help those displaced workers.
I do think you're going to see more technology. I don't think that I think of it so much as deflationary as much as a risk to the labor market. So maybe I would talk about that a little bit. Even before this downturn, I was in the middle of talking to contacts who were really worried about their ability to get workers into the workforce. Think about a rural grocery store chain, right, that maybe doesn't want to do scanners because they're not positive that their customer base is going to get excited about it, but can't find checkout clerks, and so it's going to do it. And I think if you go into a world and you say businesses are going to be challenged in the revenue line and contact, at least by some portion of the population, is seen as a negative, then I think the incentive to put technology into, you know, formerly contact roles and positions will be strong. And I hear a lot of people talking about those investments. And then, of course, you've also got distribution mix, you know, moving from offline to online retail, for example. So I do think that technology is going to be a challenge for the labor market. Labor market polarization with growth at the high end, with the tech, cognitive kind of jobs. But we haven't talked much. There's been a lot of growth at the low end in these service level jobs. And, you know, one of the tragic things about this particular downturn is how hard it's gone after those, you know, lower level service jobs. And, you know, I was looking at some data that showed reduction in the labor force by industry. And in most industries, it's down 7 or 10%. And a couple like grocery, it's up a little. But in leisure and hospitality, it's down 28-29% from the peak still, despite all the gains we saw last month and the month before. And so that's just an awful lot of workers who, I agree with Mary, I don't believe, you know, my favorite restaurants are going to be back to full staff. I don't think my favorite retailer is going to be back to full staff because I just don't think demand will be the same. And so there's a redeployment challenge in those folks that we really do need to take on with some vigor, whether that be, you know, credit programs at community colleges, whether that be online education. I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But you know, to get back to where we aspire to in the labor market, we're going to have to address that.
San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly said more needs to be done to assist in the retraining of displaced workers who are already directly affected by COVID-19.
Tommy, you pointed out that technology, you know, in a world post-COVID, is likely to replace some of the high-touch, you know, high-contact jobs. And those are the individuals who are most already most negatively affected. And so it just calls into action that if we're going to do it with vigor, as and I totally agree with Tom on this, we're going to need to think about how to train the individuals who were displaced by this virus and are likely to continue to be displaced by technology as we respond to the virus, retrain them and get them engaged so that they can be redeployed in economic activity. And that's the burden our society is carrying right now.
I'll have more from this webinar and President Barkin in our Saturday episode, where the conversation shifts to trade, local tax revenue concerns, and diversity challenges. Okay, so let's close your eyes, unless you're driving a car, and visualize a map of the world. Dang, that is a sweet-looking map. There it is, America, the beautiful, home of the COVID. And all 50 states, so beautiful, so great. South Carolina right there at the bottom, you see it, you love it. And now let's think about all the countries in the world, and especially America, like we said, the best, though the worst in this situation. And think about all those places and all those people. And here we are, South Carolina is third of that whole map. We are third when it comes to the most new coronavirus cases per million residents in the last 7 days. That's the world, including all the states in our country. We're at 2,300 cases per million people. Third in the world, and we're nip at the heels of Florida and Arizona. This according to data from the New York Times. Third in the world when it comes to the most new coronavirus cases per million residents over the past 7 days. Just had to repeat that again because it's absolutely astonishing that that's where we are. So think of your fellow South Carolinians. Think of the teachers who have to go back to work, the medical professionals on the front line, along with the service workers, bartenders, waitresses. Literally everyone is affected by this. And realize we will likely not have sports this fall because of our ongoing inability to socially distance by staying away from large groups of people, wear masks, and use common sense. So that's it. That's our medical section for this podcast. I know you're all listening. You get it. Just let others know that by not doing simple, proven actions to limit the spread and flatten the curve, this will get exponentially worse and continue to drag our economy and our way of life down. We're all in the same boat. A lot of people rowing forward, some not rowing, some are actually drilling holes in the boat. That's it. That's a tweet. Send it. Now, this is our wind-down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Have you experienced COVID-19 directly? If you're a parent, what do you think about schools reopening this fall? Tell us all this and more at 803-563-7169. Like I said, this is our new normal. We're all in this together. And we want to know what you're doing. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and a message, 803-563-7169. And AT, do we have any voicemails after lightly shaming people the other day?
The light shaming worked a little bit. We have a great friend of the pod. We had actually two great friends of the pod call in, mm-hmm. but we're going to go with the one that came in first. So we're going to listen to Towner. Roll the tape.
Roll tape.
Roll the tape.
Is it rolling?
Gavin and AT, greetings from the Sunshine State. This is Towner McGill. I'm here in my condo where some afternoon thunder poppers have rolled in, and me and the fam are having a little wind down of our own. But before you guys go assuming that we are swimming down in the petri dish of South Florida clubbing with 20-somethings, I'll have you know that we are safely here in Flagler County, where the cases are low and the social distance is appropriate. Aside from that one woman who told my 4-year-old that she must be a conspiracy theorist wearing a mask around the resort. But if I'm being honest with you guys, my real reason for going south was not only a little change of pace, but a lifelong quest for the elusive Florida man. I'll keep you guys posted if I find him down here. Peace.
Oh my God, Towner is a Florida man. He's become one. He found it. He's found himself.
He's there. And just like we also know that from our episode in Florida, there's a little bit of Florida man in all of us.
Yes.
So
listen to the old podcast. That was a great time. Simpler times.
God. That was awesome. Gatorland. Come on.
I mean, who doesn't want to go? Go to Gatorland, Towner. I'm sure there's no social distancing going on there.
I'm 100% sure it's open. Yeah. Gatorland is open. I'm
also
positive of it.
I didn't know his daughter was a conspiracy theorist. We have to have her on the pod one of these days. And
I actually knew that. I knew that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you run in those circles.
we run in the circles. the same Reddit subgroups.
Yeah, let us know her website. We'll definitely tout it on the lead. And did we have something else, AT? Did you maybe forget something?
I don't like that tone that you're taking, but I do have to mea culpa. I've not been checking the lead's email, and we did get something in. It's a pretty big breaking news story, and it's old.
Oh,
okay. Messed up. I'm going to play it for you, but I mean, this is on me. I'm sorry this has taken so long.
Sounds like a lot of ruffling papers.
let me get this. How does email work? Siri, play email.
Hey, this message for AT. AT, it's Mike Akaski. Want to just give you a heads up. I shaved my mustache. My mustache is no more. And while I'm sure you don't care personally, I'm also afraid that this will be taken as a sign of victory for the Gavin Jackson. And unfortunately, you're probably going to hear a lot about his mustache. So sorry about that. If you want to get out of town, now would be the time to do it. Good luck. Stay safe. Don't touch strangers. Bye-bye.
So the state gemstone, Mike Akaski, calls you, and that's super special. Sounds like this was weeks
sorry.
Ago.
I'm sorry.
I want to say it was never a competition.
Really,
yeah, well, you know what, AT? I mean, I hate to do this, but you're fired. I just had to do, I mean, can't.
No,
I can't,
don't.
I mean, I can do this podcast.
I just want to say that I'm really sorry. All this happened.
I'm not gonna have it.
I'm gonna go.
I'm not gonna have it.
I'm gonna go.
That was breaking news 2 weeks ago. Mike Akaski's mustache is no longer. I'm not gonna say I'm victor in this situation because it was never a competition. It was more just mutual respect. But just I'm more surprised and frustrated, you know. But AT, I can put this podcast together. It should be too hard. Let me see here. Boop 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 boop. Oh. Oh god. Oh god.
Donkey sauce.
Ooh! Oh god. Oh no, it's on fire. Oh god. AT, are you still here? Oh god. Hit the snake. I don't know where how the snakes found me. They found
okay,
me.
Okay, hold on 1 second. 1 second. Okay, I fixed it. All right, we're good.
Wow. Was it just? Oh, my computer wasn't even turned on.
If you got to do Apple C, Apple V, and that's how the podcast works.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
So, Gavin, it's your birthday. How's your birthday been?
Very, very calm, very spiritually awakening.
Tranquil?
Very.
Oh,
namaste.
Have you done ayahuasca today?
Yes. I am on something. I don't think it's hit yet, but.
yes, I'm on something. You have to guess, though.
I'll leave a voicemail. We can play it later.
Yeah, when I'm peaking, I'll call it.
Yeah. Yeah, to anyone who's peaking, give us a voicemail.
if you're reliving your childhood trauma and learning something about yourself, call it. Let us know what it is.
Yeah, again, we are not licensed therapists, so we can't offer any advice, but within
no,
3 minutes,
but
we'll have to
know.
Our
licenses from Mother Gaia, because it's natural.
No, it's just been hanging out. This could be the last day I'm down here. I'm going to leave back tomorrow, Thursday. Tame. You know, no, all my other friends can't have birthday parties, so I didn't have one, especially since mine's falling on the worst, sounds like one of the worst weeks we've had, a worst day of deaths. I mean, my gosh, it's horrible that all this stuff is going on. We thought back months ago that, oh, the peak was going to be, you know, late April, early May, and then we flattened the curve. Yay. And then it just, I mean, does anyone even remember that?
That
I mean,
was just like, a second,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that was, and now we're just like, oh, what's going on? It's like, oh, what do you think's going on?
We've had more days of 1,500 new cases than we had of flattened curve days.
I mean, I honestly thought we were gonna be like, oh, it's gonna be pretty tame come July, but sure enough,
we wanted to be bored, okay?
But it's raining out. I mean, you know, it's nothing crazy, but yeah, go ahead.
I watched Christine. Have you ever seen that movie?
Why do I know that? Maybe I've seen the preview.
It's the Stephen King story about the possessed car. It's from 1982 or 3.
Oh, so he was still like, he was still.
It's 1983,
King,
I think it is.
Like,
and it's a John Carpenter movie.
Ooh.
It's
love
Stephen
that.
King, John Carpenter.
That's a mashup I want.
It's awful.
Oh.
It's an awful movie.
I feel like that's such an undertaking to do a good Stephen King, you know?
I mean, but it's John Carpenter and Stephen King.
Yeah, I mean, two of the greats right there. But I mean, I was telling Meg this. I've been reading. I'm almost halfway through The Shining, which I'm really enjoying. Great beach read, so calming. And you know, you read it, and since I've seen the movie so many times, that great Kubrick flick, it's unfortunate because all I see is Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall, you know, and like in Danny, you know. Yes. So it's kind of warped Danny. In that way, but it's also Danny. But Danny. It's also kind of good because you can visualize a little bit, but. You know, the rug's different in the book. Yeah, the rug's different in the book, and things are different. Yeah. You know, they're a little bit happier. But it's a good read because I wanted to, you know, like I'm a big Stephen King, big fan. So I want to read these things and know them and then compare them.
He's not as much of a mess from the start. You know what I mean? And he really falls into the depths of insanity.
Yeah, because everything's like happy.
And then, like I'm doing right now at home with my cats.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's always been the case.
Yeah, well, we don't want to talk about you. It's my birthday. So,
well, enough about your condition. It's still my birthday. Can we get like a...
well, that's about you, and we don't want to talk about that.
I thought this was my birthday. It's been I've had to share with my twin brother, Colin.
Who, again, doesn't have a podcast.
Yeah, I mean... Oh yeah, and then I went to Charlestown Fermentary. You can see my tank top. This is my first beer item besides a pint glass. I'm wearing a Sun Gazer IPA tank
Gavin
top.
Gavin has dipped his toe into the hazy bro lifestyle. Yes. He now has beer swag tanks. He's all about them hazy IPAs. I mean, it's his life now.
I mean, you guys gotta love a hazy IPA. A Northeast
You're
IPA.
You're lost in the sauce.
Oh God.
You're lost in the sauce.
Charlestown Fermentary magic.
Wrap it up, you jabron.
Thanks for listening to the pod, y'all. And show us your appreciation by leaving us a review or voicemail at 803-563-7169. You can stay up with the latest on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming a member of the ETV Endowment. Memberships start at just $40. And if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. So if you're tapped out from all those streaming services, if you already watched Hamilton on Disney Plus, Passport is a great resource for Masterpiece series and so much more great content. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Well, I invited my whole coven over. I'm a witch now.
Did you want to see my coven?
When you're single at 34, you become a witch.
Become a witch. It's all in Harry Potter books. If you would read them closer,
it's a lot like Teen Wolf. That's how I'll explain it. Okay.